After we bonded, I heard an animal-like roar in the back of my mind. Then it stopped, but now it's back. I don't know why.
I do, he grated.
So that's what had happened. Indifference now moved between them, like an unwanted child shuffled between divorced parents.
I'll take Diff on Christmas, if you'll take him on New Year's.
The fiend must be weakened, though, because he'd had plenty of opportunities to impair both Puck and Gillian, but hadn't. Between them, they'd experienced guilt, envy, sadness, hope, desire, so much desire, fury. Oh, had Gillian indulged in fury. She'd come alive, a warrior ready to be trained for battle, savagely fearless. Puck had seen potential, and had only wanted her more. Whenever he'd scented poppy berries, a fragrance innate to her, he'd wanted to taste her. Whenever she'd spoken, he'd longed to whisk her away and keep her forever. Can't keep her, must let her go. But right now she's mine. No, no, enough of that. Better to maintain as much distance as possible, before she burrowed any deeper under his skin, and she had burrowed under his skin. But through it all, he remained strong and fierce, never weakening. He wondered if he'd shared his hidden emotions with Gillian, too. He felt more in control of everything but desire, and her moods kept shifting. Maybe, maybe not, but either way, her dislike of him was all her own. He could win her over. And what if he could keep her? What had the Oracle said about William exactly? Wed the girl who belongs to William of the Dark. She is the key. Bring your wife to our lands and lead the Dark One hereafter. Only the male who will live or die for the girl has the power to dethrone Sin the Demented. Only then shall you have all you desire. But do not forget Ananke's shears, for they are necessary. There's no other way. Puck wouldn't live or die for her. My kingdom for my wife? No. But William wouldn't live or die for her either. He would have let Morte ad Vitam kill her. And in the end, he had let her go without a fight. But Puck's actions had most likely caused a change, right? By now, William had to understand the treasure he'd lost. He would live or die for Gillian. He would fight for her. Puck's hands curled into fists. If William happened to be slain immediately after Sin lost the Connaught crown, well, Puck could have his clan, his realm, and keep the woman, and launch all of Amaranthia into a war with Hades, and the Red Queen, and the Lords of the Underworld, and Gillian herself. She would never forgive him. Well, she asked, and he realized he'd gotten lost in his head. Why am I hearing roars? The truth would frighten her. But shouldn't he warn her?
Indifference has invaded your mind, he said.
Indifference? The demon? He nodded in confirmation, and she went rigid. There's a demon inside me, she gasped out.
He's still tied to me, but he's using our bond to hide inside you.
Get him out! Get him out right now!
He tried. He did, willing the fiend to return, but nothing happened.
Gillian tugged at her hair. He's not leaving!
I don't think you're weakened with emotion as I do. Or did, Puck said. I think our bond weakened him.
Ashen, she wrapped her arms around her middle. Before our bond, you weakened when you felt emotion?
Yes.
Something he'd never admitted to another, not even his friends, after they'd witnessed an episode. The information could have been used against him.
That's why I stayed away from you so many days after our first meeting. I didn't have the strength to return.
The panic leached from her, leaving her lax. That's awful. I'm so sorry, Puck. Sympathy for him?
Enough talk. What was done, and he would not feel guilty. Nope, he wouldn't. Come.
Determined, he pulled her upright and, maintaining hold of her hand, kicked into motion.
The longer I'm here, the longer you'll be parted from William.
The words lashed from him, more vehement than a whip. You've placed too much importance on my relationship with him. He has hundreds of lovers, maybe thousands. I'm just a friend, or rather, I was.
Friends are better than lovers. His desperation to save you from my sinister clutches will only increase. He'll happily bargain for your freedom.
Okay, let's say you're right, and I'm special, she said. Do you really think he'll help you after everything you've done?
Yes, because to him...
To me?
Your safety means more than your pride.
Just let me go, she sounded deadened now.
This isn't going to end well for you.
Puck stopped, turned, and locked gazes with her, only to have his thoughts derail.
Breathtaking, stunning, exquisite, tantalizing, titillating, mine. Never mine.
She wore her immortality well. Earlier, he'd stolen clean clothes for her. As wind gusted, a gauzy white dress clung to one side of her curvaceous body. Around her delicate face danced long locks of hair. As beams of sunlight caressed her, the strands gleamed with different shades of brown, maple, umber, and cinnamon. One touch and he would
must focus. William might be able to best Sin, but your male will never best me. I am second to none.
Puck leaned down, letting the tip of his nose brush against hers.
Perhaps you think little of my worst, because so far, you've only seen my best. Would you like a taste of the terrible things I can do?
She paled, but found the strength to hold her ground.
Go ahead. Show me your worst, then. Make me hate you.
He arched a brow.
You don't already?
Not yet, but I'm close. If she hated him, parting with her would be easier. Very well. Puck faltered a split second before summoning a new layer of ice, different emotions fading from his awareness. First hope, then any semblance of tenderness. Finally, desire. Merciless, he lifted his arm and extended his index finger. Best Gillian learned how things would be between them. Threaten his victory in any way and suffer the consequences.
Oh no, not the finger, she said, her tone as dry as the sand dunes.
With his free hand, he made a fist around the finger and snapped the bone like a twig. Gillian screamed and clutched her injured hand to her chest. Her knees buckled and she fell, agony twisting her features, every breath now labored. After a few minutes of pain, however, the wound healed, thanks to Puck's age and experience. She glared up at him.
Congratulations, she said, her tone flat once again.
You exceeded my expectations. You have my hate, and bonus, you have my mistrust. You're a sociopath, willing to break a girl's bone to make a point.
You're right, I am a sociopath. I feel nothing, want nothing.
Ice, baby, ice, she muttered. Could she feel the ice through the bond?
I see we understand each other, he said.
Want to know what makes this whole thing even more awful? Sometimes you're actually kind of warm.
Him? Warm?
Shockingly, yes. Deep inside, a tendril of heat stirred, an instinct to protect her, never hurt her. But still, he said,
If you delay me, I'll break another bone. If you run from me, I'll cut out one of my organs every minute until you return. Because of our bond, you will lose the organs, too. And just so you know, I never make threats. I make promises. I always follow through.
She sputtered for a response.
Wasting time.
When he marched forward, she had a choice, pursue him or delay him and suffer the consequences.
Though reluctant,
she pursued. The warmth continued to stir until relief and guilt seeped through the ice. He found himself saying,
You'll be well occupied while I'm gone. You'll cook, clean, and sew like all the other females in Amaranthia.
Are we rich? She demanded.
Very much so. Why?
Then I'll be paying someone to cook, clean, and sew for me. And when we get that divorce, because we will, I'll be taking half of your belongings with me.
Now he wanted to smile with genuine amusement. Impossible. In Amaranthia, the doorways between realms constantly move. I told my men to wait with our transportation at a fixed location every day until my return, no matter how much time passed.
How wonderful for you.
You should rejoice. As soon as we reach camp, you'll be rid of me. For a little while, at least.
The barest hint of eagerness vibrated along their bond, and he jolted. Her eagerness, his impatience, irritation sparked. For centuries he'd had no problem ignoring, burying, and erasing emotions. Now he had to battle his own and hers.
Well, what are you waiting for?
Gillian jutted her chin. Put a little pep in your step, Pucky, and try to keep up.
Marching around Puck, doing her best to ignore the demonic snarls in the back of her mind, Gillian struggled to maintain her composure. Within the hour, her husband, loathe that word, would exit the realm and leave her behind. He would find William and strike some kind of bargain, maybe, if William felt like bargaining.
If not, Puck would try to make William feel like bargaining, ruthless man. He expected William to go to war with his brother, Sin. If Puck couldn't defeat him, how could William? Her friend would get hurt. Somehow she had to follow Puck out of Amaranthia without getting caught and warn William. "Tell me more about the realm," she said. The more she knew, the better. "And about magic." To her surprise, Puck complied.
"Our ancestors claimed three oracles created Amaranthia as a safe haven for magic wielders."
"Even safe havens can become a war zone, eh?"
He shrugged. "Kill a man, acquire his magic. For centuries, clans have been slaughtered, just so their magic could be stolen. Greed rules too many hearts."
"To acquire magic of her own, she'd have to commit murder?"
"Ah."
They crested another sand dune, two men and three camels coming into view. Had to be their ride to camp. She picked up the pace. Except when she stood before the animals, she gasped. The animals were some kind of cross between camel, rhinoceros, and something beyond hideous and utterly frightening, with a row of horns that went from its forehead, along the back of its skull to its nape. It also had a mouthful of saber teeth and a blend of fur and scales, layered in shades of black and white like a zebra. One of the creatures disliked her on sight, the one she was supposed to ride. It bucked her off the first time Puck seated her. Spitting sand, Gillian stood.
"Stop playing around," he commanded. All liquid grace and masculine assurance, he settled atop the creature's back and held out his hand.
Close proximity to Puck the Liar while sitting on a monster dinosaur thing.
"Welcome to my nightmare."
But even though she would rather run away screaming, she accepted his help without protest. Why fight the inevitable? He lifted her with ease, his bicep barely flexing, and she refused, absolutely refused, to be impressed. She expected to ride behind him. The women of Amaranthine Lyphia, who cooked, cleaned, and sewed, clearly had their place after all. But Puck placed her in front of him, surprising her.
"What is this thing anyway?" she grumbled. "A chimera."
One muscular, bronzed arm wrapped around her waist to prevent another spill, and she tensed. If he copped a feel, she might melt. Her body was already tingling, warming. But then she would erupt in fury, absolutely, probably. She could not, would not desire this man, no way, no how. As his other arm stretched forward, she prepared for battle, but his fingers bypassed her entirely to tangle in the creature's mane, sending the chimera into a gallop. A screech of shock split her lips as her surroundings blurred. She clung to Puck's arm, pretty sure her nails were slicing and dicing skin and muscle. A necessity as well as a sadistic pleasure, despite the sting in her own arm. They traveled at warp speed, reaching camp only a few minutes later. Puck hopped down, lifted her, and set her on her feet. Nausea churned in her stomach. Lightheaded, she swayed, fell. Her jerk of a temporary husband watched, once again, not even trying to help her. "Buck up, he's leaving and you're following. You'll beat him at his own game." The chimera trotted off, purposely stomping on Gillian's hand. As bones snapped, she screamed. Sharp pain shot up her arm and pooled in her shoulder. Puck's hand broke too, but his emotionless expression never wavered. When the worst of the pain subsided, she whimpered and clutched the new injury against her chest. But she didn't cry. She would shed no more tears for her treatment here.
"You can break my bones, but you won't break my spirit."
"You're already healing. Shake off the pain and stand. Seeing you on the ground makes me..."
His eyes narrowed and he bared his teeth.
"Stand, now."
Seeing her like this made him... what? Feel guilty for his poor treatment of her? Not so icy after all, huh?
"I'm fine, thanks, and oh yeah, screw you," she muttered, remaining in place as she looked around a thriving village.
Tents abounded, intermixed with mud huts. Multiple fire pits added a waft of heat to the wind, the flames licking the skinned animals currently anchored to spits. Children played in every direction. Males were shirtless, wearing only sheepskin breeches. Females wore drab scarves from head to knee. Everyone had one thing in common. They were staring at her.
"This clan is made of outcasts," Puck explained, offering no further rebuke for her disobedience.
A small mercy.
They value strength above all else and despise weakness.
So basically, Gillian was the most despised girl in town already? Go me.
Irish, a female voice announced. About time you returned, I'd started to think you'd died.
The growing crowd parted, revealing a 20-something man and woman. And good gracious, they were gorgeous. Both had the most amazing lavender eyes rimmed with silver, hair the color of melted pennies, and skin a few shades lighter. They had to be siblings. Unlike the other males in the camp, this one wore a black T-shirt that read, "Winter is coming," and a pair of jeans. Unlike the other women, this one wore a leather crop top connected by metal mesh to a matching miniskirt with pleats. The outfit was both sexy and protective. Both the male and female had short swords strapped to their backs, the hilts rising over their shoulders. They are magnificent, and I am cowering on the ground. Fast as she could, Gillian lumbered to her feet.
"This is Cameron, Keeper of Obsession, and his sister, Winter, Keeper of Selfishness," Puck said. "The friends I told you about, my only friends. Cameron, Winter, this is my wife."
Gillian gulped.
Obsession and selfishness on top of indifference. Who was now expressing his displeasure with growls? Just Peachy.
"Hello," she said, pushing the word past the barbed lump in her throat. Meeting new people had always been tough for her, and her association with Puck hadn't helped. Now she would forever wonder who plotted ways to take advantage of her. Cameron looked her up and down and smiled a wicked smile.
"Hello, beauty."
Winter looked her up and down as well and promptly decided she wasn't worthy of a greeting. Her gaze returned to Puck.
"Words cannot describe how much I missed you, but numbers can, 3 out of 10. You promised me gold and jewels. I want my gold and jewels and magic. Yeah, I'd like a little magic, or a lot, definitely a lot."
Ignoring her, Puck gave Gillian a gentle push in Cameron's direction. "At least I'm not the only one to receive the silent treatment."
"I'm off to recruit William," he said to the other male. "I trust you're obsessed with Gillian's protection, now that you've met her. She is weak and fragile, aye, but she is also the key to my victory and your sister's gold and jewels."
"Obsessed and impressed," Cameron said, his smile spreading. Puck stiffened and ran his tongue over his teeth.
"Gillian isn't to be touched by anyone, ever."
Well, well, the man had some scruples, another small mercy. Too little, too late. And what did he mean, weak and fragile? Since she'd met him, she'd done her best to cope, adjust, and thrive, despite the many obstacles.
"If at any time she desires a male," Puck added, his tone sharpening, "kill him. Do not hesitate."
"You can't be serious," she said, gaping at him. Cameron rubbed his hands together, as if excited by the prospect.
"Consider it done. What about me? Does no one want to kill the men I desire?"
"Also," Winter added, deigning to focus on Gillian, "you're immortal now, which means your time here is your origin story. Every story needs a villain."
She raised her hand. "I volunteer." "Accepted," she replied, because she wouldn't be here long. She'd be right on Puck's heels. Spoiler alert, villains always die in the end. Puck took her by the shoulders, ensuring she faced him, and stared down at her, his expression blank. When she refused to glance away first, he moved his hand into her hair and fisted the strands at her nape. Just like that. Breath hitched in her lungs and heated. She blamed their marriage bond. Oh, how she detested it.
"I'm going to tell you something my father told me when I was young," he said, his grip tightening. "If anyone harms you, kill first and ask questions later."
"You harmed me."
"You are an extension of me, which means I simply hurt myself."
Leaning down, he brushed the tip of his nose against hers.
"Try not to miss me, lass. I'll only be gone 100 years, maybe 2, hardly a blip."
Jerk.
"Yes, but only a few minutes, days or weeks will pass for you.
You can use the time to strengthen, train, learn how to fight."
He expected her to spend hundreds of years without friends or family, living in unfamiliar terrain, training. He wasn't just indifferent, he was also insane.
"What if I'm killed while you're gone?" The words rushed from her. "You'll die too. Just take me with you and oversee my protection yourself."
That way she wouldn't have to risk following him on her own.
"You won't be killed, I promise, and I will be annoyed if you are harmed."
Though his voice remained monotone, he somehow made the word annoyed sound like a threat to destroy the entire realm.
Annoyed, how terrible for you.
You'll be well guarded here, he continued, tilting his head to the side. I promise.
First of all, your promises mean nothing to me,
he shrugged. That doesn't sound like a me problem.
Do not lash out. Do not dare lash out. Second, she continued, well-guarded things get boosted all the time and—
Enough! The lights in his irises brightened as he cupped her jaw and traced his thumbs over her cheeks. I'm going to kiss you goodbye, wife. The barest tasting.
What?
Her heartbeat stuttered against her ribs, her blood flashing white-hot in an instant. Tingles tantalized her breasts and the now aching place between her legs. After everything he'd done, he expected a make-out session in front of other people?
Why?
Really? I ask him why? I don't tell him to get bent? Indifference tap-danced across her mind, sharp claws slicing through gray matter. She cringed, even whimpered. Focus on me, not the fiend, Puck said, perhaps recognizing the signs of the demon's interference. She obeyed, peering up at him, this man who'd become her husband, who'd been at times unnecessarily cruel and at others surprisingly kind. How could she even consider kissing him? She didn't know him, not really, and definitely didn't trust him. Despite those moments of kindness, he was a liar. He had ice for a heart, or maybe that was why she should kiss him. He wouldn't get overly excited. He might not even get turned on. Which was what she wanted, kind of, but kind of not. Great, there were two Gillians again.
You will remember me. Think of me while I'm gone, he said.
And he wasn't asking a question, but issuing a command. Protest now, before you start to panic and the demon reacts worse. But the part of her who wanted him turned on also wanted him to think of her while he was gone. Wanted him to know what he'd lost the moment he'd used her.
Oh, really? What did he lose? Tell me.
Shut up. Spiteful Gillian won. She rose to her tiptoes, saying,
Kiss me then. I dare you.
He met her halfway and slanted his lips over hers. Erotic flicks of his tongue coaxed more tingles to the surface and fanned the flames of desire. Hot. So wonderfully hot. The aches magnified as he thrust with more force, his divine taste in ever-increasing frenzied pace, dragging a moan of surrender from deep inside her, a sound he utterly devoured, as if he'd never been so starved or enjoyed a tastier meal. His skill expert, his ruthlessness on full display. Puck didn't bother to learn her or explore her nuances. He took, gave and demanded everything. His tongue dominating hers with a promise of untold riches. She was helpless to resist. The demon quieted, her mind suddenly her own, different thoughts rabbling into her awareness, one after the other. This kiss was a horrible idea. This kiss was a wonderful idea. She'd had enough. She'd never have enough. This might help her. This would probably hurt her, enslave her, free her at last. This was nothing and everything. This was delicious. And her thoughts quieted as well, her body taking charge. Her nipples puckered against her dress, as if seeking Puck's attention, and her belly quivered. Liquid heat soaked her panties, and her limbs trembled, hunger gnawing at her. Hunger that only intensified as his flavor registered. The most potent champagne.
More.
Just as she leaned into him, softening, flattening her hands on his pecs, he clasped her wrists, stopping her from making contact, and lifted his head.
Do not touch my peacock tattoo, lass. The roughness of his tone thrilled her. Not now, not ever. It's off limits.
Gillian blinked back into focus, her mind forced to play catch-up. Off limits? Why? Who cared?
Breathe.
She just experienced her very first kiss. No, she just experienced her very first kiss, and she hadn't panicked. Even better, she'd wanted and given pleasure.
I kissed a monster, and I liked it.
She should be beyond disgusted with herself, and Puck, he should be indifferent. Was he? Did she want him to be?
The demon returned to you?
She asked, embarrassed by the huskiness of her voice. He nodded, his gaze hot on her, his pupils enlarged.
You were right before. Our deal is off. But we will make a new one. When I return, I will make you want me.
Before she could respond, he chucked her on the chin, turned, and walked away. What are you doing, just standing here mooning? Follow him!
Right, jolting into motion, Gillian took a step forward, but Winter and Cameron moved into her path, stopping her.
Oh, crap! She was going to be stuck here, wasn't she?
While her plans crashed around her, Puck continued onward like a prisoner finally released from prison, never once glancing back. Winter twirled a dagger.
You ready to have fun, little girl? Because I am.
Chapter 15. A prickle of urgency beset Puck. To shake it, he would have to summon a fresh layer of ice, something he wasn't currently willing to do. There was no need. Except for a handful of hour-long silences, indifference remained in his head, emitting a constant stream of noise but never weakening him. And considering all the other things he was feeling, he should have weakened. The demon had lost the ability to act against him. So why wasn't he overjoyed?
Because, just because.
After weeks of traveling outside of Amaranthia, weeks away from Gillian and days in Budapest, he'd made no progress unearthing William's location. How much time had passed for Gillian, Cameron, and Winter? And Sin, who continued to rule the Connaughts unchallenged? About 300 years would be his guess. Had Gillian forgiven Puck for breaking her wee finger? The memory of his actions sickened him. How could he have done such a thing? Despite the few weeks, for him, their bond had strengthened, as if they'd been together for centuries, which they had, according to her timetable. He felt as if he'd known her forever, as if he'd missed her forever, as if he'd craved her forever. He wanted her back, now. How had Gillian changed? What was she like? Still sweet or hardened? What trials had she faced without his aid and protection? Raw instinct burned inside him, birthing a need to commit violence against anyone who had harmed her. During the first few hours outside of Amaranthia, many years had passed for Gillian. During that time, she had suffered terrible injuries. He knew because he'd suffered the injuries with her. One second he'd be fine, the next multiple bones had snapped for no apparent reason. Bruises had formed and vanished. Twice his hands had fallen off his wrists. Talk about awkward. Once he'd lost a foot. However, between one heartbeat and the next, his body had grown new appendages. What had happened to her? Why hadn't Cameron or Winter saved her from pain? Along with the biggies, he also worried about the small things. Had Gillian gotten enough rest? Had she eaten properly? Did she laugh anymore? Had the kindling been wiped from her eyes? Or had she finally caught fire and burned? Rage rose up strong, a battering ram to his calm. Why had he not made a clean break with her, with no promises lingering between them? Why had he insisted on a new deal? Why had he kissed her? The woman had him twisted up, that kiss playing on constant repeat inside his head. The taste of her, as decadent as her scent, all poppy berries and seduction. The feel of her, all softness and heat. Did she hate him still, or had the kiss won her over? Guilt pricked him. Of course she still hated him. He'd tricked, tortured, abandoned, and lied to her. One side of him said, "We'll make it up to her as soon as I return." The other replied, "Oh, really? I'll make it up to her with William at my side?" Every muscle in Puck's body knotted, the rage gaining new ground, the thought of Gillian and William together again. "Think I'd rather pardon Sin for his crime against me." Common sense balked. "Would you? Because that is your only other option, allowing your treacherous brother to destroy your clan and your realm." Snarl. Inhale, exhale. Puck scoured a hand down his face. "You are nothing but a nuisance, fiend." And Puck had better things to do than listen to a tantrum, or debate the wisdom of his plan. A short while ago he'd uncovered a lead to William's whereabouts. Rumors stated the man had been spending quality time in downtown Oklahoma City. Gossip meant to send Puck straight into an ambush? Possibly. Going to stop him? No. He stole a cell phone, and just as Cameron and Winter had taught him, posted an ad on Immortal Wanted, a site on the dark, dark web. Needed. One flash from Budapest to Oklahoma City. Payment? Amaranthian gold. He added his exact coordinates and waited. Posting the ad cost just as much as the ride itself, but the benefits far outweighed the expense. If someone accepted a job and harmed the person who'd hired him, that someone would be hunted down and executed by the site's owner, Rathbone the Only, one of nine kings of the underworld. Puck had never met Rathbone, but had only ever heard others speak of him in hushed tones. On the opposite end of the spectrum, if someone posted a job and harmed the person he'd hired, or even failed to pay, that someone would be hunted down and executed. Only minutes later, his ride appeared, a tall, muscular male with long black hair, eyes like diamonds, and skin as dark and red as blood. Power radiated from him. He was shirtless, his bottom half covered by black leather pants. From the neck down, he had hundreds of tattoos, every image the same, a closed eye.
"You're the one looking for a ride?" the newcomer asked. He had a deep, raspy voice. "I am."
Those diamond eyes glittered with wicked amusement as he held out a hand.
"I'm nothing if not cooperative, when I'm not killing in cold blood."
A threat? Good luck with that. Puck placed a gold coin in the center of the male's palm, expecting the male to wrap an arm around him. Most immortals needed to touch the one they transported. Not this one. Budapest vanished, an abandoned alleyway with multiple dumpsters taking its place. The other man was gone. A small cat with matted fur and scars approached Puck and twined between his feet, rubbing against his legs.
"Nice doing business with you," he muttered.
Intense heat enveloped him, the air humid, oppressive. Sweat beaded on his skin as he checked his weapons, just in case his escort had decided to disappear with them. Two daggers, two semi-automatics. Excellent. Remaining in the shadows, Puck studied the milieu. Old buildings with red brick interspersed with the occasional brownstone. Multiple alleyways branching off the one he'd been transported to. A few pedestrians meandering along the sidewalks. Left with no other recourse, Puck stalked forward, revealing his presence to the humans. Something he'd never done in the past without killing everyone who'd spotted him. Today there was no reason to hide his identity, and every reason to reveal it. People stared. Some even whipped out their phones to take his picture. No one screamed or ran away. Interesting. Perhaps they assumed he played dress-up. Let word of his presence spread. Let William come to him. A sudden crackle of energy charged the air, stopping him. A split second later, the entire sky blackened, as if the sun had flashed to another realm. Humans gasped and shouted for help, only to be drowned out as anguished cries spilled from the sky, wails of pain and grief. What the hell? Before he had a chance to reason out what had happened, the sun shone from a baby blue sky once again. The chorus quieted, even as fearful humans hurried from the area. The answer came to Puck in an instant, as he'd witnessed this type of event before. Sent ones. Winged demon assassins lived in the third level of the heavens, the level closest to the human realm. One of their leaders had died.
Not my problem. Focus.
Puck entered the first hotel he encountered, leaving his cat shadow outside. He would hole up in a room and wait for William's arrival. Would the male show up? The employees gave Puck twice-overs, and guests gave him the side-eye, but no one asked any questions. After acquiring a key, he dismissed the bellhop and took the stairs, stopping on every floor to ensure no exits were blocked. In his room, he found a king-size bed with a white comforter, a desk, dresser, television, and coffee table. He moved everything to a single corner and... boom! Hinges on the front door shattered, wood split. In the center of the chaos stood William of the Dark, at his feet, the cat. The smiling cat. Had the feline led William to Puck? Possibly. Even probably. How else would William have arrived so quickly? Puck did a quick visual survey. William held a small gold torque but had no discernible weapons. Of course, if he was anything like Puck, his body was weapon enough. Silence stretched between them as they took each other's measure. During their last meeting, William had sported red eyes. Not so today. The blue had returned. Did eye color matter to Gillian? Did she prefer...
Fool. Her preferences had no bearing on the situation.
You may go, William said.
Go?
Puck popped his knuckles.
Why would I...
Not you.
The cat began to grow and grow. Shapeshifter, Puck realized. Fur disappeared, replaced by red skin, revealing the immortal who'd flashed him to Oklahoma. Red took a bow.
My pleasure doing business with you, Puck. And you as well, William. Oh, I'd love to stay and witness the carnage that comes next. I'm needed in the heavens. Where there's turmoil, there's me.
He tipped an invisible hat before flashing away.
Turmoil in the heavens. Knew it.
The sent ones, Puck said.
Something happened.
You shouldn't concern yourself with them. Only yourself.
William spoke at a normal volume, but menace laced every word.
Tell me where Gillian is, or I'll turn your testicles into tiny disco balls.
Resentment flared, spurring indifference into a frenzied pace across his mind. Back and forth, back and forth.
She is safe. Right now, that's all you need to know.
Ding, 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 with a maddened war cry, William launched at Puck. As they plummeted to the floor, the other male grabbed hold of his wrist and anchored the gold band around it. An unexpected action, an odd development. The metal pulsed with magic. Impact. Air gusted from his lungs, the floor underneath him, his opponent on top of him. William rose to his knees and wailed, his fists raining down furious blows. Puck's brain rattled against his skull. Pain. Dizziness. The rage sharpened, indifference clawing at his mind harder, faster.
Steady, do not give in.
Though the demon no longer had the power to weaken him, emotion would drive him to kill the male he needed. Puck blocked the next crushing blow. Of course, unwilling to give up, William threw a punch with his free hand.
Blocking it, too, Puck said, "Think. You can't hurt me without hurting Gillian. Wrong."
The male smiled a cold, calculating smile, all pearly whites and malice.
"Did you think I'd twiddle my thumbs after you bonded to my woman? I learned everything I could about you, as well as marriage bonds. You were betrayed by your brother, your kingdom stolen. Ring any bells? Oh, and I made you a gift."
He motioned to the gold wrist cuff with a tilt of his chin. Symbols had been carved into the metal.
"What kind of magic is it?" Puck asked. "What you call magic, I call power. As the son of Hades, I have power in spades. Now your pain will remain your own, and I know what you're thinking. Wow, that Willy sure is the total package. Beauty, brawn, and brains. You are right, but you are also a dead man walking. Punch, punch. I cannot be beaten."
Puck caught his fists once again and offered a cold smile of his own.
"Despite your power, you cannot sever my bond to Gillian. It's alive and well, tying my life to hers, and there's nothing you can do about it."
Fury glittered in those ocean water blues.
"Don't worry, I'm not going to kill you, Pucker. Oh no, you're going to suffer for centuries."
He punctuated every word with a new punch.
Buck endured the newest round of hammering fists without fighting back, all the while working his legs between their bodies.
Success! He grabbed the male by the arms and yanked, at the same time kicking him overhead.
William soared across the room and slammed into the wall, cracking the plaster from ceiling to floor.
Dust plumed the air, muscles rippled with raw power as Puck stood and warm blood dripped from his mouth. He would unsheath a dagger and hack through William's...
"No, must not kill."
"Here's what is going to happen," he said, his harsh voice barely recognizable. "You're going to raise an army to help me dethrone my brother and reclaim my kingdom. Afterward, I will use the shears of Ananke to sever my bond to Gillian. She will be free of me once and for all. And I will not miss her, even for a second."
"I don't need an army. I am an army," teeth bared.
William straightened and rotated the bones in his neck.
"Where is she? Did you bet her?"
"I have not."
He told himself to shut up, but his lips parted, allowing a single word to escape.
"Yet."
Growling, William took a step forward.
"Only after we've dethroned my brother," Puck continued, "will I use the shears."
The promise tasted foul, but he refused to negate it.
"Agree to my terms now.
Instead, I think I'll steal the shears and sever the bond myself. Then I'll sever your twig and berries and stuff the little trio down your throat as an appetizer.
After all those centuries of suffering I mentioned, I might grow sick and tired of hearing you beg for mercy, so finally I'll consider killing you. Then I'll conquer your kingdom just for grins and giggles.
Yawn. Trust me when I say you won't find the shears without me. He'd taken extreme precautions to hide them. So either you agree to help me within the next 5 seconds, or I return to Gillian and bed her for the first time. And second, third.
Anticipation consumed him, setting him on edge.
Do you like the idea of her splayed across my bed, naked, her dark hair spilling over my pillow, her legs spread wide for me, and me alone? Because I do.
He expected another explosion from William. Instead, the male arched a dark brow and raked his gaze over Puck.
Are you sure she'll welcome you? Nice legs. Shave much? Why would I shave, when my wife loves to rub against me and use me for warmth? 4 seconds.
Nostrils flared. William circled him.
You have a pedigree? Nah, you're a mutt, guaranteed. Do you keep your hooves off the bed, or do you not care about dirtying the sheets?
Head high, shoulders back.
Sheets can be cleaned. My mind cannot. Oh, the things I long to do to my wife.
3.
Rigid, William said, Shall I turn around and let you sniff my ass?
He tisked.
If the bed is a rockin', don't come a-knockin', because you're probably under it, chewing on a shoe. Am I right? Or giving my wife her next dozen orgasms, 2.
Nostrils flared.
Be honest, is that a fur baby in your pants, or are you just happy to see me?
That is all me, and I can hardly wait to gift every throbbing inch to my wife.
1.
William huffed and puffed, but offered no agreement.
Very well. I'll mark Plan A as unsuccessful.
He would return to Amaranthia and proceed without his other key. What else could he do? Cameron and Winter would aid him. They'd killed some of the biggest baddies in mythology.
First problem. Cameron was too easily distracted by trivial obsessions. Second, Winter would betray anyone to appease her selfish nature. Outcome, the siblings might cause more harm than good.
And these are the ones you left in charge of Gillian's care?
Pressing his tongue to the roof of his mouth, Puck ignored the demon's newest round of roars and stalked toward the door.
What? No goodbye?
William stepped in his path. Perhaps I'll help your brother defeat you. 1 second Puck intended to leave, the next he had the other male pressed against the wall, his fingers wrapped around his neck. The remaining plaster crumbled.
Perhaps I'll kill you, he stated.
Gillian would cry, but tears could be dried, broken hearts could be mended. William kicked his outside leg up, up, and hooked his ankle over Puck's wrist. Then he brought his leg down hard. It happened in less than a blink, but Puck's thoughts were faster. He knew he had a choice. Release his opponent and emerge unscathed, or hold on and deal with a broken arm. Finally, an easy decision to make.
I'll take option B.
The bone in his forearm snapped, pain searing him. He welcomed it and maintained his iron grip. At the same time, he dropped into a crouch, forcing William to do the same, and used his free hand to press multiple razors against the immortal's throat.
William laughed.
The sound half wild, half insane.
You want her for your own, don't you, and think she wants you back?
Well, too bad. You'll never have her. Bonds make couples think they desire each other, meaning any desire she has for you is false. After all, what woman in her right mind would ever willingly choose someone like you? Those horns, he shuddered.
Your mother loved my horns last night, polished them up real nice.
Another wild, insane laugh from William before he sobered.
During my search for information, I learned I am somehow the key to your success. You can't dethrone sin without me, so if you want your brother out of the way, you will swear an unbreakable blood oath to cut your tie to Gillian the moment I present you with the Connaught crown.
He won? This was it. The moment Puck had schemed and fought for. He opened his mouth to agree, but with a surprising amount of bite said,
I'll accept your terms if you'll accept mine. While we're in my home realm, you will not touch Gillian.
The statement registered in his mind, and he jolted. What he didn't do, negated.
I'll touch her when and where I please, William snapped. Puck unveiled another cold smile, a promise of pain. Then we do not have a deal.
You won't walk away from vengeance against sin. You won't abandon your people to a life of fear and torment.
I can, I will. You forget who I am.
He turned on his heel with every intention of jumping out the window. Sometimes he despised indifference for shaping him this way. Other times he reveled in his ability to compartmentalize. Today he reveled. Ice, baby, ice.
Fine, William snarled. I've waited this long, I can wait a little longer. I won't attempt to seduce her. If she attempts to seduce me, however...
Teeth grinding, hands fisting, Puck turned and faced his second key.
Feel nothing, want nothing.
Sirens sounded in the distance. Someone had heard the commotion and called the cops. If he stuck around much longer, he would face arrest.
He raised his chin.
I accept your terms.
I'll have your blood oath about the shears. William reached out, yanked a razor from Puck's hair, and made an incision in his own wrist. As soon as their blood mixed, as soon as the oath left his mouth, Puck would be forever bound, physically unable to renege.
No other way.
Using the same razor, Puck mimicked the warrior.
Blood welled inside the wound as he clasped the other male's hand.
The day we defeat sin. The day you give the Connaught crown to me and leave my home, never to return, never to strike out at me or my realm or my people in retaliation for deeds I committed. That is the day I will use the shears of Ananke to sever my bond with Gillian Connaught. This I vow.
There, it was done. His course had been set, his future decided. Any other man would have experienced triumph. Puck nodded, confused by the hollow sensation in his chest. William stared at him, silent, before returning the nod.
Now we dethrone sin and win back your kingdom. Let's go.
Chapter 16 Day 41, A.B., after Bond. Gillian flew across the sand and landed with a grunt. As she climbed to her feet, knowing she would be kicked in the face if she stayed down, she tried to catch her breath. A nearly impossible task. She spit out a mouthful of blood and maybe even a tooth. She ran her tongue over her aching gums. Yep, definitely a tooth. Thanks to her immortality, she'd grow a new one by morning. She knew this beyond a doubt because she'd already had to regrow four others.
Rush me again, Winter said, and be faster, stronger, and 300% better at it this time.
Sure, let me get right on that.
Give me a sec. Gillian cracked the bones in her neck and rotated her shoulders, praying the dizziness in her head would clear.
In battle, there are no secs.
Didn't she know it?
After a failed attempt to follow Puck out of Amaranthia, Gillian had agreed to train for combat. Why not put her hatred for her absentee husband to good use? And really, she couldn't live her dream and fulfill her purpose, helping abused women and children, if she remained weak. Winter would teach her how to use every weapon available in this primitive sand hell after she learned how to fight hand to hand. Only one problem. Colonel Winter believed pain was the best motivator. Every night, Gillian went to bed with fresh breaks and bruises. At least she'd stopped crying herself to sleep. One day she would be strong and skilled enough to repay the favor. It was nice to have goals.
Well? Winter prompted.
Trying not to broadcast her intentions, Gillian rushed forward, drew back her elbow. Before she could deliver a punch, Winter swooped around her and kicked her so hard she feared her spine had been snapped. She fell to her hands and knees, no time to rise. Winter straddled her, grabbed her by the hair, and wrenched up her chin. Cool metal pressed against the racing pulse at the base of her neck.
How can you protect yourself if you can't, you know, protect yourself? Winter demanded.
I love Puck. Well, not love. He's not me. I like him. He calms me. If you die, he dies. So you can't die. Is your feeble brain beginning to comprehend?
Gillian didn't enjoy hearing that another woman liked her husband.
Because Puck didn't deserve such devotion, of course, and no other reason.
Do something, Winter pushed the blade deeper, drawing blood.
Don't just passively accept my...
Gillian erupted, throwing back her head to nail the other woman in the chin.
A grunt of pain sounded. Without pause, she spun and punched. Her fist made contact with Winter's nose for the first time ever. Cartilage snapped, and blood poured from her nostrils. A glorious tide of satisfaction made all of Gillian's aches and pains fade. She expected Winter to explode into a fit of rage, but finally, shockingly, her trainer looked at her with something akin to pride. All right, now we're getting somewhere.
Bring it, Gillian said between panting breaths. Her sternum burned with every inhalation, and she wondered absently if she'd broken another rib. And oh, wow, they were getting somewhere. The idea of a broken rib wasn't sending her into a tailspin of panic. The thought of more pain wasn't engaging her fight-or-flight response.
No, not today, Winter said. You look ridiculous with your missing tooth. We'll reconvene tomorrow when the sight of you doesn't make me want to weep for all of womankind.
She strode away without striking back, leaving Gillian alone on the crest of the sand dune. Camp was below, at least 50 eyes on her, all glittering with mirth. Puck's clan of outlaws found her determination to develop combat skills hilarious.
"Suck it!" she shouted.
Something she'd learned. The men of Amaranthia treated the women deplorably.
"Sorry, boys, but one day soon your world is going to change. Abusers would be punished. Stables would be abolished. For most of Gillian's life, she'd lived in a cage, held prisoner by fear and misery. While actual walls and locked doors kept women trapped in stables, she imagined the fillies felt a similar helplessness and dreamed of freedom.
"Must train faster.
Winter," she shouted, "get your sweet butt back here."
From now on, Gillian gave this her all. Nothing held back. When Puck returned, he would find a much different wife and a much different realm.
22 years, A.B. Dear Puck, Cameron let it slip that you commissioned him to keep a detailed history of everything that happens during your absence. I decided to help him out because, apparently, I need an outlet for my rage. I've started hulking out. See, one second I'm calm, the next I feel as if I'm experiencing the rage of 1,000 men combined. I'm able to toss 250-pound losers like they're pebbles. Weak and fragile, Pucky. I don't think so, not anymore. I blame you and your demon. What did you guys do to me? During a hulkout, only two things are able to stop me. I eventually tire and pass out, or I'm force-fed syrup from a Kuslima Kreuter tree. As you probably know, harvesting the syrup takes massive amounts of time and energy. The trees are hard to find, and their poisonous bark is a major bummer. I'm ready for your return. If you're thinking she wants to show me one of those rages up close and personal, you're correct. You deserve it. You know you do. If you're thinking she's the same girl I left behind, and I can easily intimidate her, you're wrong. Over the years, I've been punched, kicked, jabbed, stabbed, and hacked. And let's not forget the few times indifference has returned to drive me crazy. Now, I'm tough as nails, baby. Anyway, you'll be happy to know... Wait, rephrase. You won't care to know I've grown to like Winter. Yes, she's selfish to the max. Yes, she looks out for number one, always and forever. But those she considers her personal property, she protects with her life. Through famine, plague, and war with other clans, her fierce spirit has helped keep us going. To combat her demon, she turns everything into a game. Her way of inviting someone into her world, I suppose, since overtly giving anything to anyone causes selfishness to make my girl flat out lose her mind. What does indifference do to you? By the way, I haven't thought about our kiss at all. Nope, not once. I don't miss you, and never wonder where you are and what you're doing. Thought you'd want to know. Gillian Cunnaught. P.S. Puck sucks. 106 years, A.B. Dear Puck, I'm too excited and have to share with someone, even you. Check it. I acquired magic. Wait, maybe I should backtrack a little, since you're so big on history and all. About 60-ish years ago, Cameron branded runes into my hands at my request. Fast forward a few weeks. A man ambushed me, thinking to take something I wasn't offering. FYI, your little bride hasn't taken a lover yet. And not because she's devoted to you. She's waiting for William. Boom. Mic drop. Anyway, Cameron noticed the commotion and rushed over, but he was too late. I'd already started slashing. After my attacker victim expelled his final breath, dark mist rose from his motionless body. The same mist I saw my first day in Amaranthia, after you killed our ambushers, remember? Only this time the mist absorbed into me. Oh, the warmth, the tingles. Drunk on power, I decided to leave Amaranthia, visit the lords and their ladies in Budapest, do the whole reunion thing with William and find out if he'd locked you up somewhere, just like he promised. I mean, it wasn't like anyone could stop me. The student had already surpassed her teachers. And no, I wasn't wishing you'd gotten yourself locked up. I no longer hate you, okay? I only mildly dislike you now. Time has softened me, I guess. Also, I finally understand why you did what you did. I had a light bulb moment after one of my recruits fed me bad intel in order to lead me into a trap. Crap move, right? She planned to present me to a stable master as a gift. Like I'm some filly who needs to be broken and ridden. I barely knew her, and yet her deception hurt, in more ways than one. How much worse was it for you when your own brother betrayed you? More than that, you believe the Connaughts will thrive under your rule. Whether they will or not, I believe they'll perish without you. So yeah, I get it, I really do. I want a better future for my squad too, and the children we save. I'd do anything to ensure their well-being, even gut you where you stand. But here's the thing. If you ever purposely injure me again, or lie to me, I'll make a kebab with your favorite man parts and host a weenie roast. Won't be my first or my last. Now, what was I saying? Oh yeah, my exit. As soon as I reached another realm, my magic vanished. Maybe because I'm not Amaranthian born? Maybe because I'm not yet strong enough? Whatever the reasons, I backtracked in a hurry. I keep what's mine. How I spend my time targeting bad guys, rapists, molesters, and abusers of any kind. Anyone who hurts women and children, really. I'm a killing machine, and I'm living my dream. In fact, I relish the kill almost as much as the magic. Is that bad? That's probably bad. What has two thumbs and doesn't give a crap? This girl. I mean, who will have two thumbs after she regrows the one she just lost? This girl. If anyone could appreciate my sentiment about villain-like tendencies, it's you, right? We're changing Amaranthia bit by bit. We've built an orphanage as well as a shelter for women. Though many men have tried to stop us, no one has managed to slow us. Once, I wanted to be normal. Foolish. Why settle for normal when you can be extraordinary? Pucky, this girl loves her life, except for... well, it's none of your business. Now, in the squad I mentioned... we started an all-star clan of our own. We're the Shawwazons, and we rock the house. Cameron is our studly mascot, and he's obsessed with making us the greatest clan in history. Winter is my second in command. The darling girl has only tried to overthrow me 6 times, but I outwitted her each and every one, and we later had a good laugh about him. I know selfishness is responsible. Demons are the worst. The Shawwazons are made up of freed stable members, former prostitutes, survivors of abuse, basically anyone other clans have deemed unworthy. These people are my family. Recently, I promoted 2 of my best soldiers to general. Wait till you meet them. Johanna and Rosaline got our backs and we've got theirs. Girl power. Uh-oh. I better go. Winter is shouting for me, and that only happens when disaster is about to strike. Or she wants me to clean her tent. Or brush her hair, or find her shoes. Commander Gillian Connaught. P.S. I've renamed you Pucky the Lucky because you're married to me. Face it, I'm amazing. 201 years A.B. Dear Puck, dang it, where are you? You said you'd be back by now. I'm not missing you or anything, definitely not dreaming about our kiss every night, so don't go getting a big head. But come on, I'm ready to divorce you and start dating again. Or for the first time. Whatever. Gotta have experience before William gets here, right? Here's the deal. I've never trusted men. I've always freaked out when things got intimate, except for... it doesn't matter. I'm finally at a place where I want... I want. Winter says she'll help me pick a man because she's selfishness, and she selfishly wants me happy. Yes, she loves me more than she loves you. She even wrote up a singles ad. Magic warrioress on the battlefield looking for Magic Mike in the bedroom. A total catch. Prone to murderous fits of rage. Gorgeous, sometimes plays nice. House trained, comes with an even better best friend. If only Amaranthia had a daily paper. Okay, I'm not a cheater, so I won't be going on any dates until we get that divorce. I really, really want a divorce, Puck. Please hurry home. It's not you, I promise. It's me realizing I'm better off without you. I'm sure there are plenty of single ladies out there just waiting to stare into your blank eyes and never receive a compliment or any kind of encouragement. And okay, yes, I know only a few hours, days, or weeks have passed for you, but 2 centuries have passed.